To those of you who have stopped in my office on occasion here at the parish, right across from my desk, I have the opportunity to stare at a print of a painting by Eugene Bernand, who was a Swiss painter. And in 1898, he did an oil on canvas called The Disciples Running to the Tomb. And it is a depiction of Peter, an older man, gray hair, beard, and next to him running the beloved disciple. And you can see in the picture the energy that is there of these two men running to the tomb, just as we hear in the gospel today. Mary Magdalene has come back and said, the tomb is empty, the stone is rolled back, they've taken Jesus, we don't know where they've put him. And that sends Peter and the beloved disciples on the fastest race they've ever ran. And this painting captures that energy. Peter has his hand over his heart. The beloved disciples' hands are clasped. Their eyes are looking forward, wide open, their hair blown back from the run. And it is the dawn. The light has come. They get there. The beloved disciple, seemingly the younger and probably the faster, gets there first and waits for Peter, the leader of the community. And Peter goes in first, and then John. They go in and see that the body hadn't been stolen because the burial cloths were still there. No one would steal a body without the burial cloths. And the headpiece had been rolled up nice and neatly. So something different had happened. And there they stood. And we hear they began to believe. They began to remember the promise that had been made. But they both run from different experiences of just 2 days before. 2 days before, Peter had denied knowing Jesus. These hours in Peter's life must have been horrific as he went over and over and over again. How could I deny this Jesus? How could I turn on him at the house of Caiaphas? And so perhaps he's running, clutching his chest and his heart, going, what will happen? What will I be able to say to him? Will I be able to reconcile with the teacher, with the Lord? The beloved disciple comes from a whole different experience. He was there at the foot of the cross. He stood by Mary as Jesus entrusted his mother to the beloved disciple. The beloved disciple was there at the foot of the cross to see Jesus take his very last breath, to see the torturous death that he would endure. And so we have two disciples, one who's running and wondering in shame, what will happen if I meet this risen Jesus? And the other who saw him die on the cross and said, could it be? Could someone who had suffered so tremendously be risen? They're not running to see an empty tomb. They're running to discover their faith once again. They're running to discover, had the promises that Jesus made to them on more than one occasion come to pass? Could he be risen? They go into that tomb. And it is there that we hear that they began to understand and begin to believe. And that would not come to its fulfillment until they could behold him again. And we'll hear that in next week's gospel on the second Sunday of Easter. But suffice for now, are two people who in just 2 days before have two different experiences and yet all the reasons of their life to run to see that tomb empty. And to wonder, had it come to pass? In our lives, we come to experience this Jesus, perhaps as a combination of Peter and the beloved disciple, as old and young, as those who bear shame for denying Jesus in our lives, and those who wonder what the face of death brings, not only to Jesus, but to our own lives, and in the world in which we find ourselves, where death seemingly is at our door. We come to run to Christ, to discover our faith once again, to say, in the world in which I live this very day, can I believe not just that the tomb is empty, but that Christ is risen, and that death has lost its power, and that whatever shame we bear for denying this Jesus, we come to this Jesus to say, I will reconcile with you. I will forgive you and bring you back in because I am risen and in your midst. And to the beloved disciple who beholds the death of his Lord, to say, death has no power over this Jesus anymore. Because he is risen, and because he is risen, we don't have to run to a tomb. We must run into the arms of the risen Lord. And we find him wherever we are, wherever we believe. Not in an empty tomb, but a heart filled with gratitude to a God who said, I will be with you. I will pull you through death itself if you believe. And today is the day we gather as the world to say, he is risen and we believe.